Each week at Wooddale Church, we have a faith story, and it is the spiritual autobiography of someone who is in our church family. This week, will you please welcome for our faith story, Tricia Angula.
When I got the phone call this past Christmas that my dad had died, my world changed forever. While our relationship was never perfect, we were close and I loved him. In the 6 months prior to his death, I was truly getting to know my father on a whole different level, and now he was gone. My heart was broken. This last fall, I went up to Duluth with one of my sisters several times to help care for dad and mom in their assisted living complex. 4 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, in addition to his existing heart disease and depression. He also struggled with alcoholism ever since I could remember. Although he never missed a day of work, managed to be responsible for the most part, because of his addiction to alcohol, he sometimes behaved badly. When I was younger, this was very confusing for my entire family. Later, as an adult, I learned to be angry at the alcohol and stop being angry at my dad. Dad was caught in an addiction web and lost the will to get help for himself. It was easier to be lost. Although he stopped drinking for the last 8 years of his life almost entirely, he remained troubled, depressed, remorseful, moody. Then Dad's condition started to take a turn for the worst, and he had the urgent need to let everyone in our family know how sorry he was about his behavior. He cried with each one of his 6 adult children and apologized in different ways for not being the dad he thought we needed. On one occasion, I had the opportunity to ask him if he asked God for forgiveness. He said, "Yes, I asked God. Am I forgiven?" I told him if he was truly sorry and opened up his heart to Jesus Christ, he could count on being forgiven. When he heard this, he trembled and cried in my arms as we said the old German prayer we used to say when I was a child. "I am little, my heart is clean, let no one in, just my Jesus." He told me he did not deserve to be forgiven. My father, who was once strong and capable, had become my child. Although I knew my dad really well, I cried because there was still so much I didn't know about him because of the alcohol addiction. I was losing the dad I never got to have. But at that moment, my dad opened his heart to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness of his sin. He turned to Jesus Christ with the heart of a child. He had hurt through his entire life, and 2 months before dying, he gave that pain to Jesus and was freed. I learned that amazingly, as I helped my dad reach for God's forgiveness, I experienced Jesus' love and grace too. For the past 15 years, I prayed for my dad to open up his heart to Jesus in every way I have known how to pray. Sometimes I didn't know how to pray, I just cried. At some point, I accepted that I may never know the outcome of whether Dad reached out to Jesus or not. I would have to accept whatever God decided to let me know about this. The patience, love, and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ extends long and far to those I think will never seek it. I learned I must never give up in my prayers for other people. The light will always overcome the darkness and the timing God has planned. I can count on that. Think about it, a lifetime of pain compared to a few minutes to sincerely acknowledge, turn, and commit to Jesus Christ. No special formula or qualifications for the gift of eternal life. Simply turning towards Jesus Christ and believing in him today. Today my dad is with Jesus and there is no pain or shame anymore. He is truly free. Although my eyes cry, my heart sings with gratitude for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life my dad received. Throughout this, I have learned that although I miss my dad, I am so happy for him that he became the father our family needed in the end. His repentance placed him on the path to walk into the loving arms of our Lord, the great forgiver and healer. My dad is truly free. And you know, each day I wake up with a grateful heart for the forgiveness of sin that comes through Jesus Christ. I am so grateful for such love.
The Jesus film presents the life of Jesus Christ as recorded in the New Testament Gospel of Luke. The website says that the Jesus film has been translated into 871 different languages and that it has been seen by almost 6 billion people around the globe. For many of those people, it's the first time that they have ever heard of Jesus Christ and the first time they have ever experienced his story. Actually, for one audience in an East Asian jungle, it was not only the first time they heard the story of Jesus, but it was the first time that they had ever seen a motion picture. So it was outside, after dark, and the projector started up, and the film showed on the screen. And the crowd loved it, and they loved Jesus. He performed miracles, he healed the sick, he picked up children and held them on his lap. He was a good man, and they were attracted to him. But then he was arrested and beaten by soldiers, and the crowd was outraged. And they demanded that this injustice be stopped, an end to the cruelty. And when it continued, they turned against the projectionist, assuming that somehow he was responsible for this cruelty and injustice. So to sort of save his own skin, he shut off the projector and he explained as best he could that it wasn't over yet, that there was more to come. So the crowd settled down and the film began again. It came to the crucifixion. And they lost control. They became so emotionally engaged in what was happening that they started weeping and wailing. And the noise and the groans and the sounds were so loud that you couldn't hear the movie. So the projectionist had to shut it off again. And when they settled down, he tried to explain to them that the story wasn't over yet. There was more to see. And when they were finally quiet, he turned the projector on again, and they watched the resurrection. So Jesus not only died, but he came back to life again. And pandemonium broke out. There was a party. They were singing and dancing and shouting and slapping each other on the back in celebration. And the projectionist let the film run to its completion and this time didn't try to settle the crowd down, because they were doing exactly what you're supposed to do in experiencing the resurrection of Jesus, and that is jump for joy and dance and celebrate. Well, the story that they saw on the film is the one that we read in the New Testament book of Luke, and specifically chapter 24. So let's see it for ourselves. If you have your own Bible, that's great. Otherwise, pick up the Blue Wooddale Bible, and you'll find the story on page 1642. The story starts with a group of women who have come to Jesus' tomb on Sunday morning to grieve over Jesus' dead body. And Luke writes that on that first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. So up until that moment, they had given up hope. Desperation had set in. dead was dead, and they might just as well accept it because it was something that would not change. So don't think that these women, who were friends and family and followers of Jesus, came with high hopes and great expectations, because they didn't. They came that Easter Sunday morning with grief and sadness and defeat. And when they saw that Jesus' body was missing, it never occurred to them that something special or something supernatural had occurred. In fact, they had no idea what had happened. And then two very bright angels appeared to them and just about scared them to death in a cemetery. And filled with fear, they fell to the ground and put their faces in the dirt because they were so frightened by all that was going on. And then they heard these angels announce that Jesus was alive again. Well, that seemed highly unlikely. It sounded impossible until they remembered that Jesus had actually predicted that this would happen. Now, they knew about his miracles. They had seen them. They had heard his teaching and were often astonished by his words. And they knew his integrity, that what he said was true. So what he had predicted had come true. For you see, what Jesus did was for women and men of every generation who are short on hope, who are filled with grief, who are down and discouraged. Because what Jesus does is he brings hope. Hope and a whole different perspective of new life right out of death. And so for those of us who feel hopeless, the Easter resurrection of Jesus is the best possible news that we could ever hear. Well, these women had to tell. And so they rushed into the city of Jerusalem to go to a safe house where other followers of Jesus were hiding out. And starting in verse 9, we are told that when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. These women knew what they had seen, and maybe you've been there. You've had a time when you knew something was true, and you reported it, and nobody would believe you. It's a discouraging thing when no one believes and no one seems to care. But it seemed too far-fetched. A dead guy that came back to life again? How do you believe that? It just sounded to them like absolute nonsense. But Peter wondered, what if? What? Oh, it couldn't be. What if it really happened? He thought, maybe it's true. And so on the absolute outside chance, he went to the tomb to see for himself. And Peter is like all of us who are naturally skeptical, all of us who are loaded with doubts. But what was different about Peter is that he at least left the door cracked a little bit open with his what if and possibility that who knows, maybe something has happened that has never actually happened before. And it was when he went to that tomb, he didn't actually see Jesus, but he saw that the tomb was empty. And the what if began to grow. It started him down the path of his road to faith. Well, when you keep reading in Luke 24, you come to a story about a couple who one night were walking from Jerusalem to their hometown of Emmaus. It's about a 7-mile walk, and along that road, there was a stranger. And they caught up with each other and engaged in conversation. But it seemed that the stranger hadn't heard the big news that everyone was talking about in Jerusalem. And that surprised them. How could anyone who was walking from Jerusalem not have heard what happened? And so in verses 18 and following, we hear the dialogue. It's Cleopas who says, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" The stranger asked, "What things?" So this couple started to give the news about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then this stranger engaged in the conversation and took the pieces of that day's news just reported and connected them to all kinds of statements that had been written over the centuries by Old Testament prophets. Connected them together until this couple headed home to Emmaus were absolutely stunned. They were enamored and thrilled by all that this stranger explained, so that when they came to branch off to go to their house and he was going the other way, they grabbed hold of him and said, "Come on, we want to hear more. Please come to our house for dinner." So the stranger agreed to do it. And during dinner, they suddenly realized he was no stranger at all. It was Jesus. So it was true. He was alive and right there eating dinner at their table right in front of him. You say, "Well, how could that be? How could anybody have Jesus right there, just come back from the dead, and not recognize who he was?" Ah, but you see, there have been lots of people like that. People like Cleopas, who can look Jesus in the eye and somehow think he is someone else. Couples who have Jesus come right into their home, but don't sense who he is. People who have conversations with complete strangers sent by God, and they fail to recognize that God is the one who has sent that stranger and spoken those words. There are all kinds of stories of those who have been up close with Jesus and never recognized who he was. You see, that's what the Easter story is all about. It's about opening our eyes so that we can see Jesus for ourselves. Well, this couple from Emmaus were so thrilled with what had happened that they practically ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. And they went to the family and friends of Jesus and burst in and announced, "It's true. The Lord has risen." And then there's this hubbub of conversation, stories and reports and questions and excitement. And while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And suddenly everyone was silent. They were startled. They were shocked. And they were scared. They thought he was a ghost. But he was no ghost. Jesus was alive and Jesus was there. And he was amazing with them. He said, "Look, check out my hands and my feet. It's me. It is I myself. Go ahead, touch me and see. Because a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I have." That was just like Jesus. He steps right into their lives and into their homes and shows himself up close and personal. He was willing to show his scars. You can feel him. You can check him out. You can do anything you want in order to believe. And they were filled with amazement and jumped for joy. They had seen Jesus themselves. They were kind of like those people in that jungle in East Asia who saw the film for the first time, and pandemonium broke out right there in Jesus' presence. But now it's this Easter. And this Easter, it's time for us to see Jesus for ourselves. See Jesus in the movie. See Jesus in the book. See Jesus in your home. See Jesus in a conversation with a stranger. See Jesus in your prayers. See Jesus in your dreams. See Jesus in the circumstances of your life. See Jesus. Experience Jesus. Believe Jesus. Accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, and He will transform your life from here all the way to eternity. The Bolshevik Revolution was in 1917, and in the years that followed, the dictator Joseph Stalin wanted to eradicate Christianity from Russia. And so he sent teachers, commissars, who went around to every city and town and village, even to the most remote places in the Soviet Union, to give lectures, to persuade people that it wasn't true about Jesus and that God did not exist and that they should denounce Jesus Christ and replace him with Karl Marx. After one such speech to an assembly of peasants in a rural village, the commissar had talked a very long time, and he was pretty satisfied with himself. He thought he had done a pretty good job of talking them out of their faith and into his communism and atheism. And when he sat down, at first, the assembly hall was silent. But then a Russian Orthodox priest stood in the back of the assembly hall and shouted out, "I have one thing to say to you. Christ is risen." And the whole assembly said together, "He is risen indeed." They had seen him. They had experienced him in their lives. And they believed. And nothing was going to dissuade them. And so this Easter, see for yourself. Experience the risen Christ, the empty tomb, and believe in him and be transformed from now to eternity. God of the cross and God of Easter, how we thank you for the truth of your Son, Jesus. But we want to say it one more time, as much as we believe all that the record says, it's not enough. We want to experience Jesus for ourselves. Let us see him. Let us know him. Let us be transformed by him. Let us say that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.